Hello.
We're back. Sorry, I'm just enjoying the little chat with you about cultural references.
I always enjoy my chats with you.
No. Really?
We made a big promise and we're going to deliver.
Yes, we are. Because we're big on delivery.
This week is all about the About Me text, your info box on LinkedIn, because people are so desperate when it comes to what do I write, mm-hmm. who do I write for, what do I pitch, how should I sound, because there are so many questions in the air. And this is something we've taken from our experience building Lingo Tribe and having that community of linguists.
Yes.
And so we've been working really closely with them, rewriting their texts to make them sound really special.
Yeah. This is doing the About Me section. This has become a great example of how quick we can be on our feet, because we set out with Lingo Tribe with a vision and a mission, and we had a bunch of objectives, right? And we're fulfilling those things. Mm-hmm. That is happening in real time. But actually, and quite serendipitously, is that a big word? Is that a proper word?
Can you say that again?
Serendipitously.
Serendipitously.
By way of serendipity, okay, I'll look that up, okay. It's actually become something vastly bigger than we'd ever intended. And this is the crazy thing. And talking about the About Me section reflects this, because as we started the 8-week program with our two groups that are live at the moment, it quickly became apparent that when what we thought was a straightforward exercise to talk about yourself, we saw the vast majority of people just fall over and or even not know where to start talking about themselves. And so what we've done is we've pivoted within our own framework, as it were, and we're now working very closely with all the participants to craft the perfect About Me.
Okay, so you're a ghostwriter. Let me ask you, where do people go wrong?
Okay, fantastic.
Oh, you must have read how many? 60, 100, 100.
Oh, it's definitely three digits. It's probably a bit more than that, actually. Because
I was going to say.
Because what I'll do is, one of the first things I do if somebody sends me a LinkedIn request, or if I want to link into somebody, I will go to their About Me.
Yes.
And I'll have a look and see. And I hate to say it, breaks my heart, but 99% of the time, they are as dull as dishwater. And I say it's as dull as dishwater, and that's not meant as a harsh or hurtful criticism. It's for me, it's indicative of how sad it is, because that person is, you know, a unique little snowflake. Yes, we're all unique little snowflakes, but they will have, in many different ways, an exciting and fulfilled life. They'll be doing so many things. They will have seen and done so many things that I could never dream of doing. And yet, when you read the About Me, you don't get any of that fire. You don't get any of that magic. And so I would say where people go wrong is because it's like when you craft a curriculum vitae or a resume or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Okay?
It's the same thing. And we talked in last week's episode about people craft a second persona that they think everybody else wants to see.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that describes best, off the top of my head, the problem with the vast majority of About Me's, is that people feel the need, or feel compelled, or feel like obligated in some way, that they have to craft this second persona, this kind of persona that everybody would want to read about and know about.
Corporate you.
Yeah, their Sunday best. I think it's the best way to describe it, is that it's like wearing their Sunday best, you know, and go to church or wherever it is they go on a Sunday, and then they come home, they wear their smart clothes, and then they have a proper dinner and so on and so forth.
Or they have very stilted coffee and cake, depending on which country you're from.
That's right. And depending on how it goes between the mother and the grandmother, you might end up going home early and not staying for dinner. Yes. Child of trauma. This is a safe space. We can share these sorts of things. But I would say the biggest problem with the About Me's is that people are crafting a second persona, whereas what they should be doing is taking the essence of their personality and putting it out there in a way that will ideally make people laugh, okay, or at the very least smile or feel warmed to the heart, okay, and make them at the very least want to link in with them, okay.
Yeah.
And so people will treat their About Me's as a list of accolades. I studied here. I did some vocational training there. This was my first job. I was a milk monitor at junior school as well. So the example I like to use, because you would not fucking believe how many German professionals put their junior school activities on a CV. Stop doing that, for fuck's sake. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. If you're 54, nobody cares where you went to junior school. Okay, just saying. Okay. So it becomes a list of accolades on your about me. Whereas what it should be doing is, this is a line I often use, it should act as a window to your soul.
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest, I'm half tempted to actually read my about me just to give people an idea of what it is. But I don't think it would work in this format.
Yeah, no, it's we could definitely do that. Yeah. I was just thinking when you said so many people struggle when it comes to, well, just write about yourself.
Yes.
So who are you in essence? Yeah. They go, who am I? Completely stunted. Yeah.
Because people think they have to sell themselves. And what? It is a form of salesmanship. Sorry to interrupt you, but it becomes so stilted and so false. That's ultimately the irony is that when trying to create this perfect perception, it just becomes so. It's like. How can I put this? It's like you're making really stilted conversation with a relative you haven't seen for 15 years, and you've all had to go to a family funeral, and they're there, and you've got to go through the motions.
That's the same feeling, yeah.
Yeah, but it is as emotionless as it comes, and that's the thing. By creating this persona, you're extracting all the emotion, and it's the emotion that connects.
Exactly.
Right? And that's why fucking ChatGPT will never work.
Yeah.
Because there's no emotion in it.
Okay, so if somebody really struggles and they feel really stunted by this task of, well, give me your essence, which is, it takes a lot of self-reflection. Mm. So, but the best way of knowing somebody is by understanding their earliest context.
Yes.
So go back and think about who were you? And these are all questions when I do the storytelling workshop and I sit down with people.
Mm.
So who were you between the ages of 5 and 8?
Yes.
So your earliest context where you have real memories.
Yeah.
So what was the first time you got ever told off?
Brilliant.
So can you remember that?
Yeah.
So who were your mother and father?
Yeah.
How were you loved? Mm-hmm. How were you raised?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have to then turn around and share everything on LinkedIn. That's not what it means.
No.
But I'm telling you that much, like understanding yourself and having a crystal clear understanding as to who you are in your essence, the way you were put on this earth is eye-opening.
It is.
And it allows you this understanding of yourself to then go out into the world and connect, choosing which bits you want to share, of course. I mean, I'd say always be real.
Yes.
And having a personal brand allows you to have a clear fence around which real bits you want to share and the other bits are outside the fence.
Yeah.
You know, that's your self-protection.
Absolutely.
But always be real with the things you share.
Yes.
Because that leads to connection.
100%. Exactly. That leads to connection. And can I just say, to extend on that, because this is the single biggest pushback you and I see and experience time and time again. When we say, look, great example, you're working with your earliest context and your earliest memories and so on and so forth. When was the first time you were told off? Or as the examples I like to use when I work with people, I'm saying, tell me about three amazing things that have happened in your life, three critical moments in your life that were positive, ideally, because everything on LinkedIn, everything in business should come from a place of positivity.
Of course.
That's why the haters and the naysayers on LinkedIn, they won't last, because they have to maximize on that opportunity when it's negative. It always has to come from a place of positivity. And so tell me about the three greatest, most positive moments in your life and how you felt and what they did to you and what they did to other people and what the knock-on effects were. And the pushback on that is always, but how does that help me tell people that I'm a logistics coordinator with 20 years of experience? And I'm like, nobody gives a fuck that you're a logistics coordinator with 20 years experience, because there are tens of thousands of you, just you, like that in that role out there. I don't care.
Yeah.
The reason I'm already on your profile is because I fucking know you're a logistics coordinator with 20 years experience, because that might just be what I'm looking for.
Yes.
But what I want to know, because because I might be looking to hire somebody, or I might have a question, or whatever it is. But what I want to know is, can I connect with this person on an emotional level?
Yes.
And this is the single biggest stumbling block for people and their about me's, is that they don't understand. They do eventually understand, but they don't seem to understand instinctively that it is there to create an emotional connection.
Mm.
And that it is the emotional connection that does everything else. It is the magic behind every business relationship we've ever had with anybody. You create an emotional connection. And I always say, if you can make somebody laugh or smile just once, yeah, you own their soul forever. And so that would be about the about me. I would say, do not treat it as a listing of all the great things your achievements, academic, professional, vocational, whatever it is. Nobody cares. Nobody remembers me for being a translator to Germany's top five banks. Okay, mm-hmm. I used that for a long time because I thought back in the early days, I thought, wow, people would want to know about that.
Yeah,
nobody cares. There must be loads of people like me out there, who could cover that remit.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. What actually snowballed for me and for us and with House of Words and with Lingo Tribe was the emotional connection.
Yes.
That's what I would say. So again, if you're pushing back with that and going, well, you know, if I'm a sales rep in charge of 10 people, why do people want to know about what happened to me on my 9th birthday? I would say to you, it's because nobody cares about the fact you're a sales rep in charge of 9 people.
Yeah.
You know, that would be my message.
Yeah, 100%.
Just doesn't work.
Yeah. Especially in a really saturated market.
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, a million translators in the world.
Yes, literally a million. It's yeah, a huge number. Yeah.
Well, that's the official number we got on Google. But
yeah,
so call it a million, right?
Yeah.
Let's say most of them are present on LinkedIn.
Yeah, a fair chunk.
A definitely. Fair chunk, if not on other platforms, but yeah, they have a digital footprint.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're a recruiter or you've got a company and you've got a project, something needs translating, like you need an agreement translated, mm-hmm, you type in French to English translator or whatever your language combination might be, there will be a list of 13 pages on Google.
Yes.
And they all look the same.
Yeah.
It's always about, I've translated for company X and then for company Y, and I've got 7+ years of experience in this. Yeah. Nothing will stick.
No, that's right.
And then you stumble across a profile. Imagine this, you stumble across a profile where somebody says, you wouldn't believe it, but on my 7th birthday, I actually managed to talk my father into hiring a zebra for the day. And that was when I knew I was onto something great.
Yes.
And you tell a fantastic story, that will stick.
Yes, absolutely.
And then when they shut down all the tabs and when their boss comes in or, you know, somebody needs them to make a decision,
yeah,
they will remember you for that story.
Yes, indeed.
And it doesn't automatically then mean that you have to be the best on paper.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You just have to be the most remarkable.
Yes. The stickiest, you have to stick.
The most memorable.
That's right.
And that's it.
And this is what we've done with everybody in Lingo Tribe. And they have upped their about me game so much.
Makes it's me wonderful. So happy seeing, well, we've
it's
done
brilliant.
The banners and the profile pics and some of the headlines for them.
Yes, this one.
We'll do by the end of this. Everyone's going to have a new headline and a polished about me.
Yes.
And it just makes me so happy because they're such lovely people.
They are wonderful people. They really are.
You know, with their dreams and aspirations and everything, again, everything they've been through because we share.
Yes.
And they open up.
Yeah.
It's so nice to be able to say, like, we actually make a difference by helping them.
Yeah.
On something they're stuck with.
And, indeed.
Right?
And it's a two-way street because, I mean, the number of times we've been interacting with people, with all the members of Lingo Tribe, and they've said something and it's got me to think about things in a whole new way as well. It's very much a two-way street.
Yeah.
So it's a thriving community. It's wonderful. I absolutely love it. So there you go. That's my thought on the about me's. And I posted recently, they said, does your about me taste like a piece of stale bread? Because that's mostly what it is. And I think people just think that that being professional is just something something far removed from what they are on the day to day, should we say. The Sunday best analogy. You know.
I get the reservation when you work for a company. I get when you're in an employed capacity that I've talked to so many people about this, and I know that they really struggle with showing their identity and their personality and their quirks, because we always invite in quirks and encourage them. And then versus the whole corporate culture or company ethos, and like, where do they mix and match and align? And people don't want to overshare because then they feel like backlash and whatever, or criticism. So I get the reservation, but still, if you feel like you want to be on LinkedIn, which you should be, like if you're looking elsewhere, you're full.
Yeah, indeed.
LinkedIn is where it's at. Plus, on a tangent, they've just introduced LinkedIn games. So the retention rate of LinkedIn users will be even longer and even higher. So they can do it, use LinkedIn during their work time and do like crosswords or whatever.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is where it's at. Whether you work in sales, you're self-employed, you're employed, it does not matter.
Mm.
It's the long game we're playing here.
Absolutely.
But it only works, and it will only ever work, if you come from a human angle.
Yes. Oh, perfect.
Full stop.
I think that's a great place to stop, because that's it in a nutshell.
So I think call to action, because we never have any call to actions, to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't done so, because we love growing with you and it really helps us.
Our subscriber base is like taking a jump, hasn't
it? Fantastic. And we're so grateful. Yeah, honestly, we celebrate.
Thank you.
We celebrate every new subscriber. You wouldn't believe it, but we really do. There's always a squeal in the kitchen and yay, and the children cheer us
on. It's brilliant. Yeah.
So thank you for that. Subscribe if you find this useful, and if you always learn something new, that's the one thing. But also the other thing, if you find yourself struggling with your About Me, Daniel, you're a copywriter, you're a ghostwriter for people. I can consult you on your story. We can sit down and have a mini workshop and really like get to your essence and put it all into beautiful words, so that you feel comfortable with those words, which is the most important thing. And you feel like you can really own that story and share the story with the world.
I think that's beautifully put.
Right?
Absolutely.
In which case, just contact us.
Get in touch. Yeah.
Send a pigeon.
One of the things I really love doing, I have done for a while, but certainly in the sort of the last few years, is writing for other people.
Yeah.
I find it quite quite liberating in a way. And I know that the people I write for find it extremely liberating, because a lot of people have sort of been in a rut. They're, again, trying to craft this persona, trying to sound what they think is professional. And it's actually only by me interviewing them on a regular basis and getting them to share information that's like a gem will pop up, a nugget, and you go, that's it. And then when you write about it, being as a post or reworking their LinkedIn profile, whatever it is, the rate of engagement just jumps enormously, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, no, brilliant. I enjoyed that.
Fantastic.
Mega.
Right. Cool. Right. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Mwah.